speaking of 21, we noticed a while ago, do you know how many, and it's a little shocking and a little scary, do you know how many people watched the Sunday morning worship on the Facebook Live? 667. Is that, I'm amazed. We were talking months ago, you know, 60. We were shocked at like 61 and 72 and stuff. 667 people this morning watched that. I'm hoping Christians are able to, you know, that didn't have another outlet, but I hope there's some people that are watching that maybe are not Christians, and hopefully we'll hear the gospel and act on that. Anyway, we are, if you would, turn to Psalms 117 and Psalm 118. Got to give Preston a little bit of props here. I think a few weeks ago he referenced Psalms 118 in a lesson. And later, I went back later that week and was reading it and then kind of went back a few verses. And that's where these last few weeks have come from. We did 116 last week and it intrigued me. And kind of piggybacking off of that. But just a reminder, I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago when I did 116. This is part of what was called the Hillel, and it would be recited Psalms 113 through 118 would be recited during Passover. And the first couple of chapters was done before, and then these chapters of Psalms were done at the conclusion of the Passover. And last time when we did 116, I was floored that even though David wrote those Psalms, these would have been the Psalms that Jesus and the disciples would have been reciting at Jesus' last Passover. And the connection that it had not only to David, but to Jesus when we read that. But I'd like for us to go through 117 and 118 tonight. It starts out, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." Isn't that the goal of God from the very beginning? That all people would bow down, worship, acknowledge, accept him as God. It got to where the Israelites were the ones that were committed to oracles of God, and but the goal was for all people, everywhere. Us, we're Gentiles by those definitions. We're not, you know, unless there's something I'm not aware, you know, maybe by birth. I don't think any of us are Jewish. And this was the goal of God. Oh, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Simple, straight to the point. Part, as I read these, I picture part of this is David reflecting, but also proclaiming to others the things he has seen and witnessed. And we go right into Psalms 118, and he says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. The Lord is not just good when things are going well for us. There was a lot of times in David's life that things took kind of a nasty turn. Even those times, David still acknowledges the Lord, he is good. We cannot, as Christians, have that attitude. If everything's going hunky-dory, I'll love the Lord. But when trials hit us, when setbacks hit us, to not have that attitude, why did God let that happen to me? If there's a God, why? David is proclaiming, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, period. For his mercy endures forever. Let Israel say now, his mercy endures forever. They would be reciting this at the Passovers. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. David was wise to do that. When he was in distress, there's for every individual, there's different responses. But having known people when they're in distress, they try to do it themselves. They try to use the world's logic to climb up out of the hole that usually they've dug themselves in. Usually. But not always. You know, sometimes we just find ourselves in a corner and we call on the Lord. Other people, they try to do it themselves. David was wise that I called on the Lord in distress. When we're in distress, sometimes that's our only out. God has a way of humbling us. God has a way of pulling out the rug from under us for us to depend on him. The Lord answered me. Not only did the Lord did David call on the Lord answered him and set me in a broad place. As a shepherd, David would like the broad place. As a shepherd, that's usually where the better grasslands are, in the broad, wide field. That's where the water usually is. You know, and as a shepherd, David would appreciate that. As the warrior, he set him in a broad place. Very similar to where he fought Goliath. Being in a broad place doesn't always mean it's going to be peaceful. Broad places, the valleys, were the site of warfare, where the armies would come together, maneuver. In the broad place, you can see your enemy coming for a distance. You have multiple ways of escape, of retreat, of being prepared. David called on the Lord and he put him in a broad place. Something that he would have appreciated whether he was the warrior king or the young shepherd boy. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We talked about this last time. What can man do to me? He can kill me. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? If that's all he's got, bring it on. Because we've got something even better after death. I don't think any of us are looking forward to the process. But death is not that thing to be that scared of, because Jesus conquered death. Matthew 10, 28, Jesus says, "And do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." David was ahead of his time. He says, "The Lord's on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Take things from me? Take my life?" We're guaranteed something after that. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Isn't that an amen? Man often falls short. Man stumbles. Man disappoints. How do I know that? Because I've done all those things. I've disappointed people. I've disappointed myself at times in my life. I have fallen short of my goals. Not to mention the goals of maybe somebody else. And I'm sure every one of us have story after story about how man has fallen short. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men, in man. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 13, it says, "And David said to Gad, 'I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man.'" David was given three choices: famine for the land, to be handled by man for 3 months, or to 3 days against the angel of the Lord. David chose, "I will seek mercy from the Lord. I don't want to trust myself to man." Man can be pitiless. Man can be merciless. David will take his chances with the Lord. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidences in princes. "All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me." Yes, they surrounded me. "But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them." That's confidence right there. That's faith. That's the same faith David had when he by himself and the Lord went up to go up against Goliath. What an unlikely suspect. You had the army of the Israelites here, and the youngest son of Jesse being sent basically on an errand mission from home to check on the brothers, take some of these snacks to them and give some to their commander and stuff like that. And David shows up and he finds out there's Goliath out there in the middle of that broad place, the field, challenging. Just send one guy out. And David's looking, which one of these warriors is going to go out and fight that battle? Maybe it'll be one of my brothers. Man let him down at that moment. Because not one man left the ranks to go out there to fight Goliath. David did. A young shepherd boy. And he destroyed the greatest foe the Israelite army had. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Not only is David going to be delivered by the hand of God, David is going to proclaim it to others. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. David wanted to go through those gates of righteousness. Jesus talked about those gates in Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." David is seeking that gate. He is seeking it and will go through it. Verse 20, "This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." I wonder what Jesus was thinking that last night he had, just hours before being arrested, as they are reciting this. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Whatever that day brings, good, bad, or indifferent, this is the day the Lord has made. Does every single thing that happens to us in a day, is it all good? No. But this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Not only was this very beneficial for David to reflect, to write, to assess his life, to fully assess his life and to look introspectively at the good things, his shortcomings, and so forth. But the Jews, as a people, would recite these at their Passover. And hopefully they would look inwardly. It has been preserved for us. Now, we're not part of the Israelites. We're not David. But it can mean as much to us as it did the day it was penned. The lesson is yours. 5 minutes over this morning. I'm 7 minutes short today. So you guys gained 2 minutes. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers from the congregation, we would be happy to pray with and for you on your behalf. If there's sin in your life, I think everybody here of age is a baptized believer. But if there is sin in your life, don't let another minute pass without changing, repenting, asking God for forgiveness. Again, I mentioned it this morning. It has been my complete honor to have spent another year being able to bring the Word of God to you. And I humbly thank you for that opportunity. I admit with all honesty, it has been better for me than it has been for you. I have gotten more out of it than you ever would know, being able to do that. And I think it's been about 8.5 years now. But another year under the belt. You guys have a safe new year. And let's hope that 2021 is a lot better for us than 2020 has been. Let's put that behind us. Anyway, if you need to respond to the invitation, please stand as Don leads us.